Sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. So since recording started, so anyway, we will then assign the task to one or two or three people we're going to have working with us, and then it goes through the queue, and then when they're done, it goes to the next person, which is the proofer, then it goes to the next person, which is the shipper, and then out to you guys, and then we'll have change orders, and if you have anything that we may have done wrong, or you just have a change, you just submit a change order, and it goes right in the same queue, same system. We're notified right away, and then you'll get a response as soon as we start working on an automated response saying, we're working on it. And then we may give you a call if we have concerns or questions, or we just may email you. And so what we're trying to do is cut down a little bit on the phone calls and get everything into a system where we can keep track of it. And texting does not work for me. I don't always have my phone nearby, and I've had clients text me, and then they don't realize I'm not paying attention to it, and then they take offense, think I'm ignoring them. No, I just don't know that you texted me. So texting doesn't work for me. I'm not that type of a technocrat. If you want a website built, I'm your guy. But when it comes to texting and social media, no. So that's kind of where we're at. So, Carol, we're about ready to start. It's right at my time. It's 10 o'clock.
I think we are. It's just about 10 o'clock. Hang on just a second. It's just about 10 o'clock. Oh, 12 o'clock my time, 10 o'clock your time. So, good morning, everybody. Today is Saturday, January 12, 2019. This is our contract trust call number 74. Welcome to our trust call with Jim Knox, you just heard him, and myself, Carol Werlius. We are not accountants, tax professionals, lawyers, or currency dealers. We are not engaged in rendering legal, tax, accounting, or other professional advice. Should you require those services, you should retain competent advice from a professional in that field. And I have to apologize right now, folks. I've got a little bit of a cold, so if I start coughing, please forgive me. So once again, thank you for joining us today. As most of you know, we promote common law contract trust. I think by now we've all heard that anyone who expects to receive $1 million or more from their exchange must have a trust. We've also heard that if you do not have a trust, the exchange bank will prepare one for you. I think they're calling it a skeleton trust. That is not a good idea. By doing so, the bank becomes your partner. They are in charge, not you. And I've heard that if you do this, you have up to 90 days to have your own trust prepared, et cetera, et cetera. But they can do a lot of damage to you in 90 days. You know, regardless of what anybody tries to tell you, the bank is not your friend. Yes, you know, the tellers you deal with on a retail basis are all very nice people, but the bank is still a retail business with profit in mind. And we've all heard horror stories, especially with Wells Fargo, with their hands being caught in the cookie jar a little too often. And that's unfortunately rampant in the banking world. Wouldn't you agree, Jim?
I would totally agree with that.
Yeah, okay. So if you go to your exchange without a trust, you will be seen as being unprepared. And it's likely you will not be given the same service and opportunities that those of us who are prepared will receive. They're just going to see, okay, well, you haven't paid a whole lot of attention to this, so we're not going to give you all the perks that you are possibly entitled to. So now that you understand why you need a trust, which one do you choose? Obviously, there are several choices running around in our land. Many of you are familiar with a statutory revocable living trust. The biggest problem with that, it is revocable, meaning that you still have control and ownership up until your dying breath. The IRS has a clawback provision and may decide that all money and other assets that you own are part of your estate to be probated and heavily taxed. The last number I heard was, I think, 54.9% on estates over $5 million. And, you know, let's face it, that is a big number, but many of us in Denarland are hoping for at least that much. That means your heirs get hit with a 54.9% haircut on whatever remains in your estate. And it's going to take a long, long time for them to get it. Also, many revocable living trusts appoint an outsider as trustee, so you're not in total control of your money. And because it's statutory, the laws that create and define revocable living trusts may change. Well, here at Indicator Information Institute, we specialize in the common law contract trust. It is, in fact, a business trust, which has been available in the U.S. since the 1800s. It has been validated by the IRS and the U.S. Supreme Court. And we have chosen to drop the name business from the trust because it is a little bit of a stumbling block, especially with banks. So our cover page is no longer, our cover pages, our abstracts of trust, nothing says business trust anymore, but it is in fact a business trust with all of the attributes of a business trust. And one of the biggest attributes is that you can be your own trustee, which means that you're always in control. You can be your own trustee, your spouse can be your co-trustee, you can name your children as successor trustees. You can keep it in the family for generations. It is not, it does have a limited life of 25 years, but it can be renewed every 25 years. It is something that you can run your business with. Actually, many people are going to be using more than one of these. Currently, I have several. Jim has several. My friend Judy, who you heard on the line a little while ago, has several. Because there's so many things that you can do with this particular trust. It is not your, technically not your money anymore. So when you die, it will not be considered part of your estate because the trust owns the money, you don't. You and possibly your spouse still have 100% control, but you don't own it. And one of the big things about keeping things separate is doing that, keeping things separate. You do not want to commingle your money with the trust money just because you happen to be somewhere and you're out to lunch with your spouse, you can let the business pay for it. Well, if you didn't talk about business, probably ought not let the business pay for it. Vice versa, though, if you're entertaining a client, then I don't know why my phone's ringing, I'm sorry. Then the business can and should pay for it. Excuse my telephone, folks, I'm so sorry. On the other hand, you know, one of the things people ask me all the time, well, how do I get money out of this trust? There's a lot of ways. First of all, you can take a salary. You should take a salary. You are working for the trust. You are putting in effort. You're putting in time. You should take a salary. But it can be whatever you want. Some people have asked me, well, what's reasonable? I don't know. Can you live on $5,000 a month? You're not going to have any debt. If you need more, give yourself a raise. If you need less, take less. You have to make that decision. You and your financial advisors have to make that decision how much you can and should take every month, every week, or every month, or every year, however you want to set it up. You can also take a distribution, which is similar to a shareholder's dividend in a corporation. Another way is to borrow money from the trust. And if you do that, you have to make sure that you have proper security, like a promissory note. The trust can also pay for some expenses. For instance, one of the things that you are charged with as the, you're charged with as trustee is to build up the financial rating and capital rating of the trust organization. Well, you might need to meet some people, right? You might need to join a golf club to do that. You might want to buy some real estate in Europe. All that means travel. And certainly the trust can pay for most of that, you know, pick up brochures and business cards and business plans and things like that, because they are all legitimate expenses. One of the ways that we feel is the best way to purchase real estate and additional businesses or something like that is just create a new trust. This first trust can be your mother lode trust that holds all the money, but you want to buy a big house. You know, I was recently in Florida, and I've got some beautiful places there on the water, no question about it, but you're looking at maybe a $1 million home. If you borrow, there's still going to be interest on it, even if you are the one who created the debt with the trust, you still have to pay interest at some point. But if you create a new trust, so why don't you create a new trust and take out $3 million for the house? But while you're at it, okay, you're going to have to pay property taxes. It needs some landscaping. You want to buy all new furniture. You have to get insurance on it, et cetera, et cetera. So instead of just taking $3 million for the house, take $5 million. So you can pay for all those other things. You can pay for property taxes. You can pay for insurance. You can remodel every couple of years. And whatever isn't spent, put that money to work, earning something so it continually regenerates itself. So there's lots of ways to take money out without incurring a big tax event. Excuse, Jim, why don't you take over for a second while I go cough? Excuse me.
Okay. Yeah, I can handle that. So, anyway, as you decide that you want to build up your portfolio, your estate, you can borrow money from one trust, the other, it all goes back to, if you've ever worked with a corporation, it's very, very similar. Okay, you can do estate planning, as she was talking about. You can borrow money from one trust to another. You have to pay some minor interest and so on and so forth. It's really a simple process, and it's just getting your brain wrapped around it. Once you see the diagram, it's really, really simple. Then we're here for you. If you have questions, we'll answer your questions, walk you through the process. We've been very successful using this for larger businesses here. I've got a couple businesses in my hometown that have worked with me, and their business is $5 million business, and it's all in trust. It's never been a problem. And so it can be as big or as small of an entity as you want it to be. So from that point, do we want to add anything else, Carol? Do I want to jump into the other subjects?
Well, I think we've hit on the high points of the trust. We try to do complete asset protection for you. I mean, complete estate planning, not just asset protection. Besides the trust, we have our triple play, which includes, a pour over will, stating simply that anything you do own in your own name pours over into whichever trust you designate. There's also a durable power of attorney. So if for some reason you can't take care of business, somebody else can do it for you. You could be ill, you could be out of the country, whatever. If you've appointed your brother-in-law, Joe, to be your power of attorney, he can go take care of those things for you. And we also have a healthcare directive. And as many of you know, you need to have a healthcare directive these days. Even if you just go to the doctor, if you don't have one, they will prepare one for you, but all it does is give them the right to you. The one that we prepare is much more inclusive, down to I want to be cremated or I don't want to be cremated, things like that. So we try to produce the whole package for you. And we have a number of different trusts besides what we call the mother lode trust. We've also got trust for real estate and vehicles, and if you want to run a business, and also a charitable trust. And the charitable trust is not a 501c3. All it is money that you have set aside that you want to use this amount of money for your charitable or humanitarian work. So you're not constantly pulling from your mother lode to do that. So as I said, we try to give you a well-rounded menu of things that are available to you and how they can benefit you. But as Jim has said, we are trying now to, we've been a two-man show. Let's face it, guys. We've been a two-man show. I think you all know that. At this point, for several years, as you know, most of you know, I work with Jim Jenkins, and he has since retired. And Jim Knox and I have been working together for a couple years now. But it basically is just us. And we do try to keep our prices down. So we do get a little bogged down sometimes. So we're trying to streamline how we process new business. So, Jim, that is pretty much your level of your area of expertise. You want to explain that a little further? I know you talked about it earlier, but it was before I was recording.
Yeah, let's go through that again. So what I'm trying to do is make this a simple procedure. So you get to your computer, you decide you want to do this, you go through the website, what you can see from that. It's pretty much blocked. Not everybody can see that much, but there is some common areas, as you can see before you're a member. Remember, the website is a members-only website. Once you purchase a trust, you get invited in. You get an invite code. You use that. You register with the trust, with the website, and then you can get in and see all the good stuff. So in the process of getting a trust set up, we want to do this online. We want you to fill out the application online. And there'll be a series of different applications. If you want a real estate trust, you want a vehicle trust, you want a standard trust, charitable trust, just pick the one. And then once you fill that out, it's sent to our new system, a new server system we're just having set up right now. It'll queue us that we have a new application. We'll go and review that real quick. And if there's any issues, we'll either email or call you. Then once that starts, you get an email back when we start putting the trust together. It's all generated automatically. So then the trust then goes to the process where it's assembled. Then it's proofed. And then a group will ship it for us. So it takes the workload off our shoulders a little bit. It makes the system kind of unique. Excuse me. And then if there's a change in something needs to be done or correction or whatever it may be, you use a change order. That would be another form on the Internet. You just simply fill out the change order. It'd be a lot of just drop-downs and some boxes to type a couple notes in and submit it to us. And as soon as it gets into the queue, then you're notified that we received it and we're reviewing it, and then you'll be notified as we're making the changes and reshift the trust or whatever we have to do. So we're trying to get this to a point where we can bring in some help. So I've designed where I can then go through the system, and then, now I got sidetracked. I got a phone call coming in. I'm sorry. Why are people calling me today? Anyway, so once the system is queued up and the process is taking forth, going forward, then everybody will be notified as we go through this system. And it should make it quick. Oh, I was going to talk about, we have this new system and where we're actually going to have some people working and doing the primary fill out the trust, and then it goes to a separate person, which is a proofer. Then it goes to the third person, which would be the shipper. So that's kind of where we're at with this right now. Carol, any suggestions, questions, comments, remarks?
Well, yeah. You know, in the meantime, we are still trying to be as efficient as possible and keep our prices down. We realize that most people in Dinar land are currency rich and cash poor, so we have always endeavored to keep our prices reasonable, and we still are trying to do that. So we would appreciate It wasn't with cold medicine. It really messes with your head. We would appreciate your grasping our new system as it comes about. We are still here. We don't necessarily need to be available for phone calls all day long because it does interrupt with our workflow. but I think the way that Jim just explained it quite well. It should make it a lot more efficient for everybody. And also, as you folks know, we do have a website that Jim has created. It is, as he said, a members-only website, and it is full of all kinds of information that you will need as you get used to using your trust in minutes and resolutions and things like that.
All right, let me jump in real quick.
Go ahead.
Okay. The website, let's talk about that real quick. It's going to be updated also. You're going to have everything you ever need to manage your trust in the website, including approximately 400 samples of minutes. It'll be by category. And the way the minutes are set up is you can go in there and you can either just grab it off the screen, or you can download it as a text or a Microsoft Word file. And then you just take and bring it in. You modify it for your specific trust, and then you have sample minute in the back of your trust, so you know what to type in there, and you just put the minute number on that. You print it out, and you put it in your binder. Sign it, obviously. Put it in your binder, and away you go. So we're trying to make this as simple as possible to maintain this thing. So the minutes that I'm setting up right now are generic business minutes, and then we'll get into some specifics later on as people need. Like I'm doing a lot with automobile trust right now, and so I have specific minutes just for automobiles, how I get the insurance, and so on and so forth. So that's one of the things that we'll be working on this next week, is getting that stuff updated. Going back to the system, real quick, this is a couple things that was just brought to mind. We're going to have a reminder system put together also. So it'll be about 4 or 5 reminders sent out every year. One is the year-end minute. Have you all done the end-of-the-year minute yet for your trust? I haven't. I'm guilty. But I'm working on them.
People probably have not, but now that we've reminded them, I'm sure everybody will get right on it.
Yep. So that's what we're going to do. We have these reminders and let you know there are certain things. You know, it's quarter. You know, at the end of the quarter, do you have to do new filings? No, probably not. But you may have something that the trust is attached to that has to do a quarterly filing, for an example. So we'll be sending out little reminders. You'll be getting these cute little reminders from us. It's all going to be automated. And I think that what we really, where we really want to go is talk about some of the changes we're making as far as offering mail services. We want to jump right into that real quick.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Jim. Go ahead.
Okay, well, we're having some issues with one of the people we've been working with, and so we've expanded, and we have two more locations for mail services for domiciling your trust. We have one in state of Washington, which is in Vancouver, about 55 miles from where I live. So if there was ever an emergency or something had to be done, I could take care of it for you. Does not make many emergencies, but I could because I'm close. The other one that we just found is in Evanston, Wyoming. And one of our clients, Mark, which hopefully is on the phone or on the line today with us, he went and did the research, went there and met them, got a box, last 48 hours, and I'm finishing up changing his trust. I sent him the 8822B form to fill out, very, very simple form, one-page form you send to the IRS to change the address, the domicile of the trust. And it seems like it's a very good company. Now, what we've set up here with the one in Wyoming and the one in Vancouver is you can have five trusts per box, not one, five. The cost is running around $124 to $128 a year per box. Divide that by five. It's a very, very efficient system. And they will take a little deposit, $25 deposit, I believe it is, for forwarding mail. And they'll only forward it whenever you need it forwarded. They will send you a notice, usually by email, saying you have something in the box. This is what it looks like. Do you want it forwarded now or do you want it forwarded later? And they will do that for you. So we've set up two, and they'll be available to us, to you. I haven't put them on the website yet, but I will. So before the end of the call, I'll get the information up on my computer, and I'll tell you how to get a hold of these people. Both.
Jim? Why don't you talk again about why people need to send a letter to the trust mail trust address?
I was going to do that. I've not done it. I keep telling people I'm going to send out a sample, and I haven't even produced it yet. And I apologize to everybody that I told I'd do that. I just haven't had the time. Okay, here's what we're trying to do. Hold on a second. Excuse me. See, you're giving me a cold over the phone, Carol. It's all your fault.
I know. Terrible.
So, when you get your domicile established, say, for example, it's in Washington State. That's where mine's at. So I sent a letter. Return receipt requested, certified letter to the box. And it simply says, and I never open it once I get it, I just leave it sealed. It simply says, to a may concern, if you receive this letter is simply to verify that the intent of the domicile for this entity is in the state of Washington. That's pretty much what it says. So I send at least one, if not two or three, and I send it to the box, and then I go pick it up or have it shipped to me, and I leave it sealed. I never open it, and I put it in my file. Now, the reason for that is if I ever get challenged in a court, for an example, on the domicile, there's a letter that says that the intent was, and that's dated back then, that I was domiciling in the state of Washington. I'm not domiciled in the state of Oregon. I'm in Washington with this entity, and I have all the paperwork there. And so that should solve any issues about the domicile being valid with the trust. So I suggest everybody do that. You can do it now, no matter when you set up your trust. Just send that letter, and then have it sent to you later. You don't have to have it sent back to you right away. Just send it to the box there that you have your trust domicile, not to the trustee, but to the box. Return receipt request. You have the green card, and then you have the actual unopened letter that you can present to the judge or a court. And that should solve
that
issue.
Also, when you're opening bank accounts or anything like that in the future, use the trust address, not yours. You can specify yours as trustee, but use the trust address in Cheyenne or Washington or wherever it may be.
Right. Now you can have, I was going to amend that a little bit, but no, let's leave it that way. Just make sure that you let them know that you're the trustee. And so the box that you get, they'll have your name and all five of the trust names that you are going to be using. May not have all five right now, but as you add one up to five, you just let them know, okay, I'm using it. I got a new trust, and it's going to be domiciled in the box. This is one of my five. and they'll just put it on the card there, letting them know that, okay, if it comes in under your name or that name, that it's yours. So it's a very simple procedure. And the people in Vancouver have been really nice. In fact, I got a call a couple days ago from them, say, do you have any other person by the last name of Knox using your boxes? No. Why? Well, we have postman's here trying to find out where Andrew Knox might be in the box. Well, it's nobody I know. So they even called me just to confirm that. I thought that was very sweet, very professional. So we'll have those here. As a matter of fact, everybody get a pen handy, and in a minute here I'll read off both of these addresses and the names of these companies. So the first one's called Postal Connections. It's in Vancouver. Postal Connections. The phone number, 360-546-2310. And their address is 7720 Northeast Highway 99, Vancouver, Washington, 98665. The new one we're working with in Evanston is called Shipping Plus. Shipping Plus. And they're at 325 Front Street, F-R-O-N-T, Evanston, Wyoming, 82930, and looking for their phone number. It must be at the top. Well, I'll get the phone number here in a second. I'm looking for it. It's not where I thought it would be. And I talked to them, and before Mark went up there, and I got it all established what we wanted. They agreed to everything. They have plenty of boxes. They have well over 100 boxes right now that they can add. And it seemed to be a very competent group there. In fact, I talked to the owner. So, and I'm still looking for their phone number. I'm on their website.
While you're looking for the phone number, why don't we open this up for Q&A? We've gone over a fair amount of material this morning.
I got the phone number first. Let me get that out.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so it's Shipping Plus. Phone number is 307-789-8284. And their fax number is the same number except for it's 8285. They just need the two pieces of ID. You know, you can talk to them, they'll set it all up, and you can get it all set up within an hour with these people. So, and shippingplus@ymail.com is their email. So shippingplus, one word, at ymail, ymail.com. Okay, that's all I needed to add.
Okay. So, once again, this is open for Q&A if anybody has any questions. You know, we're going through this stuff today because in everything that we've heard, we really are down to the wire here. It is very, very important that you are prepared when you're ready to go into this. And, you know, walk in the bank confidently. Here's my currency. Here's my trust. You know, hang on. We do have a caller here, Jim. Area code 602. Is it you, Gary?
Yes, it is, Carol. How are you today, Jim?
I'm well, thanks.
Very good. Just a real easy question for you. You were talking about setting up a trust for a residence if we're buying a new home and that. Once that trust is set up, when we transfer money into the trust, that is a non-taxable event because it's going from one trust to the home trust. That's correct, right?
Yes,
Okay, then when we actually write a check or however we do it to purchase the home, we write that check from the home trust. Is there a tax on that money that we write the check to the home?
No.
Wow,
there might be excise. I mean, I don't know about excise tax, but there's no tax for getting the money. Okay?
Wow,
no,
that's really
from one to the other. Yeah.
That's really good. So we're like buying the house almost tax free.
Well, like, I don't know about excise tax. You know, I don't. Who knows what the tax situation is going to be like anyway?
Sure.
But as far as taking the money out of the mother lode trust, though, there will be no tax on that. Just there's no tax on a loan. There's no tax on what you're doing here.
Gotcha. And then on a second point, the two new domiciles that you have in Wyoming and Washington, those sound excellent with five trusts per box. That makes it a lot cheaper for us.
Absolutely. The vendor that we have been using has decided that they will only take one trust per address. And at $125 a pop, it gets pretty pricey. So Jim has negotiated with both of these vendors, and they'll do five trusts per box, so that's great.
And you said that if we want to switch our trust from where it is in Cheyenne, Wyoming, to Washington, we can do that?
Yes.
Yes.
All you have to do is...
Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, let me take it. So, yes, all you have to do is get hold of them and set it up, and then you file an 8822B file with the IRS, and you send that registered mail to them. And since it's just you just change the address, it's administrative, it's not anything new with tax purposes. As soon as it's postmarked, you can consider it finished. And then
Excellent.
You have to amend your abstract of trust, and then you write a minute in the trust saying that you changed the domicile to the state of Washington from the state of Cheyenne. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Jim, do we have that link on our website?
Nope, but we will by the end of the day.
Okay.
Thank you. You answered my questions. No, that was excellent information.
Okay.
Thank you. Anybody else out there have a question for us today? Well, not yet. So keep talking, Jim.
All right. Well, right now I'm looking on one of my websites I go to often. I thought I saw an article this morning about the Senate has a bill to abolish the IRS, and it looks like it may pass.
Wouldn't that be lovely?
Well, you know, what do we have next?
I've seen that several times now.
Yeah, but it looks like it's first time I've ever seen it go all the way to the Senate and be considered.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty jazzed about that.
To begin with, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway,
go ahead.
We do have another caller. Good morning, Veronica. How are you today? Veronica, are you there?
Yeah, I'm getting better, Carol. Thank you for asking, and I hope you're okay too, Jim. Thank you. I'm calling because I want to know with the box, is there a restriction on both of them as to how many trusts you can have per mailbox?
Yes, five.
Only
trusts
five
per box.
Okay. That's my question. All right. So that means we'd have to have another box if we have more than five. Is that correct?
Well, you could negotiate with them, I guess, but I mean, I've set it up for five. I try to get more, but we negotiated up to five. As far as I was concerned, I wanted 10, they wanted 3. Well, we got to 5, and we agreed to stop there.
Okay.
But you can always get a hold of them and, you know, and talk with them. I mean, it's just a matter of negotiations. It's not set in concrete.
Okay.
But they normally only do one name per box, and I got 5, so I was pretty happy with that.
Okay, that's progress. Okay, so.
Yep.
I'll try. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, and we have another caller. Manuel, how are you today? 805?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hi, how are you today?
Good. Thank you. Great call, guys. Great, a lot of information here. I got
thank
distracted regarding the mailbox in Cheyenne. So right now, the Cheyenne mailbox, they're not accepting. I have 3 trusts. So at this point, I can't have one mailbox address with the 3 trusts, correct?
In Cheyenne, no. I mean, if they've already accepted them, fine. But they probably don't even know. But they don't like to have more than one per box.
I wonder, do I have to inform them or just let it stay as it is now for now, or... What do you think?
Well, that's kind of up to you. If you want to let them know that you're going to leave because there's only one per box, they'll probably give you the 3 rather than lose your business. But I've never talked to the people out there. And but 5 per box is a pretty good deal. And you got it in both Washington and Evanston, Wyoming. So it depends. And if you want to do it, it's a very simple process. You just negotiate get your new box set up, do the 8822B file. It's one pager, and then you need to do a minute for your trust, and then you need to have the abstract reprinted. You can open another bank account.
Well, all three abstracts on per trust will be changed to the new domicile address.
Right. And we'll do that for you. Not a biggie. It's just that's why we're setting up this new system. So you could use the change order, say, okay, I've moved from this address to that address and all of my trusts, and then you list the trusts so we know we've got them all. And then you send it through the system, and then within, you know, a few hours or a day, you should get an email with all of the new abstracts, and then in the mail you get a hard copy a little later on. But you'll have them emailed to you in the form of a PDF right away as soon as we get them done. So you're ready to go. And then, of course, if you have a bank account, you need to notify the bank that you changed the domicile address. And that's about all you have to worry about.
I don't have a bank. I don't have a bank account set up yet in either trust yet. I don't have to worry about that part. But certainly, I can't remember if I'm paid up to. I don't remember what month I'm paid up to. So I wonder if I should let that run out and then change over, or it now.
That'd be fine. Well, it's whatever you want to do.
I'll let it run out.
We're just trying to get
it run
you.
Out.
Yeah.
Okay, just let it run out for now, and then meanwhile, I could just email. Is it you, Jim, that I emailed for the letter I got to print out, the tax
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, the abstract. Yeah. Oh no, the 8822B. Yeah, I'm going to put that on the website today. Also, there'll be a new category that I'll create something. I'll have that on there where you can download. It's an IRS form. You can go to the IRS page and get it. I'll just put the link to the IRS page, and I'll just put a PDF up there where you just download it.
Oh, perfect. Okay, great. So
I'm way behind on I'm actually trying to build a new website in the background. I have a server in my home, but I just haven't had the opportunity to finish it up, so I'll just probably change the one that's on there right now and then update everything in a month when I have more time. So make a note.
Let's hope we don't have a lot of time.
That's right. Well, actually, we will have more time because I'm going to delegate a lot of this stuff away from me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to do right now.
You just, something you and Manuel just talked about, ticked something with me. When we do any updates, like for abstracts or make a correction or something like that, we are much more efficient, and it is a lot less expensive if we send you an email with the changes, whether it be a new minute or a change in the address, as Jim just said, if you print it yourself. Jim has got, there is a link on the website to an Amazon source for the paper that we use. We will send you everything, you know, including the borders on the page, so it matches what you've got. But all you have to do then is just print it on that page, punch holes in it, and put it in your binder. Makes it a lot quicker, a lot easier for us, certainly a lot less expensive for us because we're not paying for postage. And that way you always have the paper. There's, what, 25 sheets in that ream, Jim, or more?
There's 250 sheets in a ream.
Oh, okay. Hey, where was I? Yeah, can make a lot of changes with 250 sheets. And it's only about $20, right?
Yeah, it depends. You can get it on sale. I got my last one, $9.84 for 250 sheets, but I've seen as high as $30 because it's a very expensive paper, very elegant paper. But if you go to Amazon and watch, they have specials all the time on that paper. And you can get a ream of it and it'll last you forever.
Yeah.
So, and it's, you know, it's 65-pound cardstock is what it really is. And the reason we set it up that way because these things have to last 25 years. You don't want some flimsy white paper and it'll start generating. So we use the heavier paper. It's a good investment to have a ream laying around.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Does anybody else have a question? Anybody else out there? Judy, you've been awfully quiet today. You have any questions? Oh, Veronica's back, okay. Hey, Veronica. Veronica?
Hear me?
Yes, we can.
Can we have more than one
issue on a minute. For example, we talk about, I mean, say, for example, we have so many years that we haven't made any notes for minutes, and we have, say, 5 or 6 years. Can we put them all on the same page, or do we have to put only 1 minute per page?
If you're trying to catch up on end-of-year minutes, let's say you've had your trust for 3 or 4 years, you haven't written any end-of-year minutes, I don't see any problem with stating that the trust has not done any business from 2015 to 2018, something to that effect. I don't see a problem with that. Do you, Jim?
No, I don't see a problem with it. Clerically, though, I do individual minutes for that, the end-of-the-year trust, and I date them for the year that I did them. But that's how I do it. Either way, it works fine.
So that's with the, as far as keeping up the years that you haven't done any minutes. But what about if you're doing a minute to do with something else? Can you combine one thing with another thing on the same page, or it's best to just do one kind of, one theme on one page? What do you say?
Well, I don't have a problem adding multiple aspects of business on a minute.
If you have a board of trustees meeting and you discuss 3 different things, you want to put them all in the same minute.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you.
And that's also, by the way, in the instructions that we send you, it's in part of Book 4, is how to write minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's all in there.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
And a board of trustees meeting is very exciting at my place because me, myself, and I sit down with an adult beverage and have a meeting once a month.
Okay. Thank you.
There you go.
There you go.
And, you know, speaking of trustees meetings, if you have children that you have named as successor trustees, have them come, you know, have them be part of these meetings so they know what's going on. Just, you know, a little bit of education for them, and this is something you could legitimately take the family out to dinner for and have the company pay for it, have the trust pay for it, because you are having a trust meeting with all of the trustees and the future and the successor trustees. Just something to think about, that's all. We do have a few more callers here. Let's see. Area code 941. I don't recognize the number.
Well, you sure should, Carol. It's Connie.
Oh, hi, Connie.
I trust that you feel a lot better and just get healed. Wanted to thank you and Jim Knox just for all that you've been doing and updating and preparing us for our big blessing. And you guys be blessed, and thanks for all that you do.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you, Connie, and thank you, Wayne. We appreciate you as well.
Well, it's been an interesting year. We have to admit that. I mean, this last year it came and went pretty fast.
Yeah, it has.
This coming year is going to be interesting to see what happens. I didn't find that story I was going to refer to about the IRS, but I know the Senate has the bill, and evidently they're going to pass it. That'd be pretty wild.
Yeah, I've seen that as well. That'll be interesting. Hey, we do have another call. Bill.
Hi. Yes, I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes, you can. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Yeah. Apologize. I think I may have gotten on a little late because I had troubles getting logged in for some reason. But I don't know how much I missed, but when I came on, Jim was going over the addresses of the postal connections, and then also there was another one the phone number for the 370-789, but I didn't get the address, 325-something.
Okay, let me get it to you right now. I'll pull it up here because I'm still on their page. Plus, got to go back to their home page, and it's pulling up right now. Their address is 325 Front Street, FRONT, Front Street, Evanston, Wyoming, and the zip is 82930.
Okay, I have that. And what's the name of that company?
The name of the company is Shipping Plus.
Shipping Plus, okay. Shipping Plus. Now, these are companies that handle some kind of a box, you said?
Yeah, they're a mailbox company. Personal mailboxes. I have one here in Oregon that I use for all my mail. I have one for all my trust stuff in Vancouver. I don't get any mail at my house. I don't want people knowing where I live.
Right.
So
now, I've had my trust set up now. I think it must be at least 5 or 6 years already. So it's just been collecting dust. I haven't actually been on the call for a long, long time. So I don't know what all I've missed out on, but sure, it's been quite a bit of information. So I do hear that the RV is supposed to be just right around the corner, like maybe now.
Yeah, we're hearing the same thing. So you need to dust off that trust, Bill, and do some end-of-the-year minutes if you haven't already done them. Get it all ready.
Okay.
And we were talking about that. And other than that, just get ready. It's inevitable. Just don't know the timing.
Well, my ready is ready. I'm not sure if I am. I totally am ready. So looking forward to everything.
Yes, yeah, we all are.
I think everybody is right now. It's been a long haul for a lot of us.
Yes, it has. Oh, okay. Well, Carol, I remember speaking with you before. I'm not sure if you remember me at all.
No, I don't offhand. But then again, like as I said, I've got a bad cold. My brain isn't as sharp as it usually is.
Well, I just got over one. In fact, I'm recuperating now, and I just had the pleasure of having my first smell of anything and just while I was on the call.
Oh, my goodness.
Happy about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, nice.
Any other questions?
If you want to call back, feel free.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. We have another call, area code 480. 480.
Hi, Carolyn, Jim.
Hi. Hello. Who's that?
Hi. This is Merle.
Hi, Merle. How are you doing today?
Just great. Just got a couple site questions, and do it real quick. Otherwise, I can give you a call during the week or something. But like you said, you wanted us to fill out the information for another trust online. I have not been able to find out where to do that. And also, you just mentioned about the paper. I'm going to be needing some here pretty soon, and I don't see where the paper's listed either. So what am I missing?
Well, you're not missing anything. You're just dealing with me. I'm going to go on the website right now, and I thought I put that on there. Maybe I haven't uploaded it from my server yet. But as far as the online stuff, we haven't got that finished yet. Let's talk a little bit more about that, the timing on that. Hopefully, the next 10 days will be up and running. So we've got a server company that we're dealing with right now. A guy I've known for 30 years, I trust him. And then my ex-business partner in the computer business, he's the one designing all of the software for me to make this thing work, and he's very good at this stuff. And so the process is in play. We bought all the hardware. We bought all the software. We're actually testing it right now. John is my business partner and on this ex-business partner. And he is working to get all of the software where it works through this queue system, where it just automatically goes through the system. And so he's working on that. But the server's done and ready. It's huge. I mean, it's got 256 gigabytes of memory, so we can handle about anything we want. And it's local. The server actually is in Salem, Oregon. So if it has any issues, the people that own it that I'm leasing it from are good friends of mine. They'll keep it running. They deal with mostly legal firms. They have a server set up for a lot of legal firms here and in Washington State. So they deal with this stuff all the time. They know they have to have 100% uptime for the attorneys. So that's why I piggybacked on their server.
Okay.
So we should have everything ready in 10 days or so, and we'll send out a blast email letting everybody know, okay, here's the new location where you can go get your applications and your change orders and stuff.
Okay, that'd be great. Thank you.
So it shouldn't take me too much longer. The biggest thing is troubleshooting it, making sure it works before we go live.
You bet. Okay, thanks, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've got I'm going to keep you more here. Good morning, Curtis. How are you today?
Hello.
Hello, Curtis.
Hi. How are you doing, Carol?
We're doing.
I've been out of the loop for the last couple of years. I need you to give me your telephone number where I can reach you, because I've got to talk to you privately, so that I got some things I've got to get taken care of. My wife passed on me, she went through a year of sickness, and I'm just catching up on things.
I'm sorry to hear that. Here, my number is
425. 425.
820.
821.
0.
820.
8090.
Okay. All right. I'll call you next week and try to set up an appointment with you, okay?
All right. Sounds great. Thank you. Sorry about your wife.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, area
code 801.
Hi, Carol. Hi, Jim. This is Mark.
Hey, Mark.
I've got two things to add to the overall picture on the boxes. For those who have an upcoming date of expiration of their term with the box shop, it would probably serve to at least give them a call or notify them in that last month if you are planning to change, because that's the criteria that they are looking for. And there is no place that I have found that has that as any of their stipulations, but that's how they choose to operate. Secondly,
do they automatically bill you?
They do what they call is a auto renew for the term or that you started with. So if you were on 6 months and you wanted to change it to a year, unless you tell them in enough time in advance, they will automatically renew you for a 6 month term. And of course, that's a little more expensive than it would be if you were just buying a year. And then if you call them up and say you want to make a change after they've done that, the answer is that it can't be done. They are unwilling to make that change, and you have to wait 6 months to then change it to a year if you chose to.
Yeah, I forget.
That's been my experience. That was my experience, and so it's the way they do business, and that's their choice. It didn't work for me. So the next piece, though, is that 8822B. There is a newer version. And I found that out because I went online and looked. It went into effect on January 1st, I believe, of this year, 2019. And the only difference is the name that you would send the address that you would send your envelope to now says Department of the Treasury above IRS service.
Wow. You have no idea what that means. I mean, that is amazing.
Yes, I do know what that means, and that's why I'm letting you know.
All right.
And the form that you send out that I got from you had the ability to auto-fill right there online and then print it out, which was great. I just know that when you print out that page, it tells you where to mail it, and the mailing now says Department of the Treasury. So I'm just letting people know that as well.
Oh, that's interesting. Wow.
Well, that kind of validates a few things we've been hearing, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it does.
Happened. Yeah.
I think we're in play here, folks. I really do. I think this is going to be a matter of a little bit of time.
Yeah.
All right. That was great, Mark. I really appreciate you helping. Now, by the way, folks, Mark is the one that went up there to Evanston and got the box. We've been communicating by phone and by email, and he's been extremely helpful and vigilant about getting this set up for you guys. So you need to remember that Mark is the guy that helped get this thing all set up. He did a lot of research. So,
I will tell you,
Mark,
if I'm still open to communicate, I will tell you that the reality is I reported back what I found, and I was selfish. I was doing it for me. But the information that's now been added will benefit others, and that's fine.
That's good.
We appreciate
that's good.
It
well,
very much.
You know, still, you did a great job, and we appreciate that. And I'm sending out your stuff that you requested today. Well, I'll get it done.
No problem. Thank you.
I was going to get it done yesterday, but then things just didn't go the way it's supposed to. And that's
no, I comprehended that you had the plans for the call, so that was not a problem at all. I appreciate it.
All right. Great. All right. Well, thanks, Mark.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. And we've got another caller, Jim.
Okay. Before you get with the sticks.
Hey, Carol and Jim. How's everybody doing?
Doing well. How about yourself? It's been a long time.
Yes, I know. I know. It's great. You guys are doing a great job. I really appreciate it. So
thank you.
I was wondering if one kept a little bit out and out of the trust, and would that be considered earned income or capital gains?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't think anything knows.
No, and here's the situation is we just heard that the Treasury Department is now involved with the IRS, which is interesting, and we know that there's a bill before Congress right now to eliminate the Internal Revenue Service. So there's no way of us knowing what to expect, really. You just have to play that one by ear. I mean, you're going to have to get competent, which is almost an oxymoron when you talk about this stuff, competent counsel on government and the IRS and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have an answer for that right now. Carol, do you have anything?
Well, one of the things that we've suggested in the past is because this is supposed to be, this is not supposed to be a taxable event. And so people have asked, well, how do I get money out when it's still not taxable? My scenario has always been, okay, Mr. Banker, here I am with millions of dollars. I want you to put X amount of dollars into my personal account. Here's my number, or I'll open an account with you. And that number can be anything. I mean, if it's not taxable, take advantage of it. Take $100,000. Initially, I suggested $50,000. But take $100,000, take $200,000. Put in various different accounts. Because you're not taking cash out. You're merely putting money from one pile into a different account. And then after you've done all that, you know, take care of your wires and your cashier's check that you have immediate need for, and then the balance goes into your trust account. And that's, you know, again, we don't know what's really going to happen tax-wise.
Uh-huh.
But that is one way that I see. I mean, personally, my husband and I have a couple of different personal accounts. I'm going to put a bunch of money into all of them. So I've spread it out, and I've got non-taxable money in all of those accounts. But that's just me.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Now, rumor has it that we'll go to a flat tax, consumption tax. Anything new, you'll pay between 16 and 17, maybe 18%. So if you buy a new home, you'd pay the tax. If you buy a used home, you wouldn't. Same with a car. Essentials aren't taxable. Food, medical, that's not a taxable. That's what we're hearing. And I think that's the direction we go because – you know, if you look at the Constitution where you have an illegal tax system, that's why they're getting rid of it, and along with the Federal Reserve. So I think that we're going to be blessed this year with some new things we have to learn, and that's how to manage this the money on this new system. I don't think it'll be very onerous. I think it'll be very straightforward.
I agree.
Now, is everything – I haven't you know, logged on the members' website yet. I keep on telling myself to do. Everything is going to be on there for us to know what to do. I have to admit, I'm behind on getting things done and getting completely organized. So hopefully I'm not too late at all. Is there stuff on the website that tells you exactly, you know, what to do and how to do it?
Well, yeah, there is.
Hold on, Jim. Are you talking in terms of your exchange or managing your trust?
Well, I guess maybe both.
Okay.
You know, okay. Being prepared, I guess, before this happens.
Okay. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, operating a trust is pretty straightforward, and we have all the tools built into the website. As far as the exchange, nobody really knows what's going to happen yet. We hear rumors and rumors and rumors and rumors of rumors. So what Carol and I have decided to do, and we've said this many times, we'll say it one more time, that as soon as the RV hits, you're not going to hear from us for probably 5 or 6 days. We're going to go to the RV. She's going to go her way. I'm going to go my way. And we're going to compare notes, and we'll be able to tell you exactly what to expect. We want to be a couple of the first ones in there so we can get all the facts out to everybody. And you will get a blast email from us as soon as we get done with ours. We'll compile all of our notes and get it out to everybody as fast as we can. And then right after that, we'll start producing trusts for everybody. That's kind of our game plan right now because we want to help you. We feel responsible to help you, but we just got to get in there ourselves first and see what the heck the deal is. So she's going to do hers in whatever state she chooses. I'm going to do mine probably right here in Oregon where I live, and we'll compare notes. So that's the best I can do on that.
Wow, that's excellent. I mean, if you guys are one of the first ones to get in there, and then you know the process and what and share that with us for us to be prepared. Okay, this is what's going to happen. Be prepared for this because they're going to ask you this and that and so on. I mean, that's wonderful.
Well, the unique thing about Carol and I doing this is we know what questions to ask regarding the trust. We know what to do to get the answers we need for you when we go in there because we're well-equipped with knowledge about these trusts, how they operate. We can ask all those interesting questions that you may not think of, and hopefully we'll get this stuff done, and then we'll do a conference call right away, and we'll do an audio of it. We'll get it written down, and we'll get it out as fast as we can.
Oh, excellent. Fantastic. You guys are great.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. We try. We try hard.
Yeah. Yeah. And you, Carol, you said a little while ago that, you know, it appears that we're very, very, very close to this thing happening.
Yeah.
And what about the Vietnamese Dong? That also going?
As far as I know, everything's going to go in what they call the first basket. Isn't that what you've heard, Jim?
Yeah, I've heard it's in the first basket. In fact, what I've heard, we're going to have the dinar, the dong, the Iranian rial, Afghani rial, and I'm missing one. Oh, Zimbabwe, mm-hmm. and one other one.
Afghani.
Yeah, I think I mentioned. Okay, I think there's five in the first basket, the primary ones. And
yes.
That's what we've heard. Again, it's rumor. You know, we
right.
can't take
well,
that
I think everything is rumor and conjecture at this point. I really do.
Yep. I totally agree.
Just an educated guess, what would you think the dong would come out at?
We've seen numbers from a nickel to $2.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't want to go on record and saying, oh, I think it's going to be this, it's going to be that, because I don't want to be hung by the tongue. But
yes,
I've seen anywhere, predictions from anywhere from a nickel to $2. And it all depends on how they value the country. I mean, if we went, they're all going to a gold-backed system, an asset-backed system. We don't know the value of that company or that country. And that's what's going to determine how much they give you. So it goes back to, okay, what is the parameters for them valuing a country, determining the value, and then what are the factors to create the value of their new currency? Nobody knows. But that's how it's done, as I understand it. So, you know, if Vietnam has got all a large amount of assets, then, of course, it's going to be higher. If it doesn't, well, it's going to be lower. Same with Iraq, same with the United States, same with all of them. That's what I'm reading. Along with everybody else, it's all conjecture and rumor until we actually get there. And that's why when it happens, Carol, I'll be one of the first ones in the door to get this information out.
Yeah, we will do our best to make sure you have as much preparation as we can give you. And don't bear in mind that we're only supposed to have 8 days of 800 numbers. That's going to be a pretty quick turnover. But we'll do our best to keep you guys informed.
Mm-hmm. So we should maybe hold off to being one of the first ones in.
We didn't say that.
I mean, if you want to rush in there, like we're going to do it, and then compare notes with us, well, man, that'd be great. You know, because what we need is we're going to be able to bring a unique perspective because we know the trust business. We know these trusts. We know how these things work. So we'll be able to bring a little bit more information there. But we need as many people to help us put this thing together because we will have calls like this right after the RV. You may not hear from us as far as doing trust, but you'll hear from us doing the call and talking. And as soon as we get done with our exchange, we'll let everybody know, get on the number, get on the phone, and maybe do it 7 o'clock some evening. And whatever it takes, we'll get that information out as fast as possible. So don't limit yourself to waiting on us. You know, if you're adventurous, and go for it. I mean, there's nothing I don't think there's anything you could do at the bank that can't be undone or changed after the fact.
Yes, from what I understand, we will still have a 3-day rate of rescission.
Right, exactly.
Oh. Yeah, oh, okay, right. And if you went to the meeting and decided, well, you know, I need to think about this a little bit more, let me make another appointment to come back. I assume you can do that.
I would imagine they'd let you do that. I don't see why they wouldn't.
Yeah, I would expect multiple meetings to begin with. You're not going to be in and done in one meeting.
No.
So that's why they have the 3-day right of rescission. So you sign some paperwork or whatever, and you go home and you talk to your spouse. You and your spouse talk this over. You know, I don't think this is good for us. You go back the next day and you talk to your wealth manager, your personal banking manager, and say, I don't like this part. See if you can change it. But when you're talking, you're not talking to strangers. You're only talking with your family, with people that already know about this. You know, once again, folks, and I know everybody reminds you of this all the time, so I feel I have to as well. Keep this to yourself. Just absolutely keep this to yourself.
Yes. Now, there's no, advantage money-wise. What am I trying to say here? What we would get if we got in there early versus late. I mean, is there any...
I don't know.
Yeah.
We've heard rumors that if you get in early, you get the better rate. You get in late, you get the lesser rate. And we've heard just the opposite. You get in early, you get the lower rate. You get in late, you get the better rate. We don't know. Nobody knows.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned.
Just remember, if you're dealing with Wells Fargo, if you are dealing with Wells Fargo, remember their history. They paid over $1.5 billion in fines the last 14 years, the federal government, for screwing their people.
Wow.
So, I know I had a little situation.
RP too many times.
Yeah, I had a little situation recently where they let a charge go through on my debit card from, I think it was Singapore, and I'm here in Salem. And by the time I had to go down there and really get on their case to shut the card down before there's more charges, and they argued with me. And so I came home, did my research, took a little piece of paper down there, and outlined all of the billions of dollars they've spent to the government to rectify all their bad actions. And I got my money the same day when I brought that piece of paper. I made a little bit of noise at the bank. Carol knows me. When I get a little upset, I let everybody know. So by the end of the day, I had my money.
Wow.
So you have to call these bankers. I mean, you have to hold their toes to the fire. Just keep that in mind. I'm not trying to be a naysayer. I'm just saying, watch the banks.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we got to watch our backs. You know, a lot of money. We have to be very, very careful. Very careful with whatever we do. Well, Jim, it's a little bit after 1 o'clock, and I don't see anybody else having a hand raised.
Okay, well,
so
please,
would you like to sign off for a little bit?
Yeah, give me a second. I want to let everybody know that under the Tools tab on the website, before the end of the day, I'll have the information on the mail drop. I'll have the information on the paper, and I'll have information on the 8822B and the new one. Thank you very much, Mark. I will get that new one out there, and we'll have that under the Tools tab, which is public. So you don't have to log in to get that information. It's public. So just go to the top. It's home, blog, trust operation, list of documents, list of minutes, tools, and disclaimer. Tools is public. So you'll have that there. I'll do it today before the end of the day.
Very cool. Thank you. So you want to say anything else? Oh, we have one more call. Mr. Bill is back.
Oh, hi,
Bill,
Carol. Yes, once more. I just wanted to say, I didn't get the website. If you could be so kind to give me the URL for that.
Sure. It's indicatorinformation.com. IndicatorInformation.com. IndicatorInformation.com.
Oh, okay. Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, we do have one more. Okay, area code 562. 562?
I
can't hear you. Hello?
We think that was. We lost him.
Well, I guess we did. Well, you know, folks, we'll hang in here as long as we do have questions, but if nobody has any more questions, then we're going to call it a day. I've had the same person call me 6 times since we've been on the call.
I've had 3 from the same person also. Yeah. So we need to put I'll find out how we have a special system, folks, for our phones, and I'll get a hold of the company today and see what we can do about putting on private or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, thank you all very much for your attendance and your attention today. We certainly appreciate it. We're gone a long time. A month is over the holidays. Does seem like a long time with all the stuff that's been going on. We, like you, are very anxious for all this RV to happen, but we do strongly encourage those of you who do not yet have your trust to give us a call. You need to get this done. You need to be prepared. And, you know, we want to get as much out as we can beforehand. As Jim said, we are both going to be pretty scarce immediately after the RV. So if you don't have it done beforehand, it might be a while before you get it done. So, again, my name is Carol Worlius. My number is 425-820-8090. My email is info@indicator.com. I am in the central time zone, and I will be accepting calls between 10 and 12 my time and between 4 and 6 my time. So, Jim, would you, and I'd like to thank you again, and Jim, would you like to sign off?
Sure. My name is Jim Knox. I am in Oregon, West Coast time. My area code is 503. Number is 581-6791. My email is security@indicatorinformation.com. And I work from about 9 o'clock in the morning to around 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the afternoon. And that's it for me. And then email is the best way to get a hold of me if you can't get me on the phone. With that said, I'm ready to sign off.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Bye-bye. Take care. Bye. ORV. Bye.